It's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza.
.105 the time. Welcome into the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Clay, my friend, always great to talk to you. And this is what I really love about these weekly shows that we can do. The good times, the bad times, the in-between. You gearing up to jump on and talk to us and talk about the game and talk to those Rams fans too, man. I really appreciate you, my friend.
For sure. Thank you for having me on.
All right, Clay, let's talk a little bit about Middle Tennessee. And obviously, I know this game didn't go the way you guys wanted to, especially that first half. They end up getting this game 34-19. You guys came storming back, though, and we'll get to that in a moment. But what were they doing in that first half? Obviously, we know the offensive line situation for you guys, missing a couple of those tackles, and that's a big deal. What was Middle Tennessee really showing you guys in that first half that was really wearing you guys down, at least in those first two quarters?
Yeah, I think, you know, they just came off a loss, and I think they kind of came into our place, and I think they were pretty frustrated with how things went before, and I think they came out really hot. You know, we kind of came out a little bit flat. You know, they did a good job. They brought some pressure a little bit early on, and we were just pretty flat, honestly. I mean, we didn't come out the way we wanted, the way we're capable of doing. It was just pretty flat, I'd say, on our end. Like I said, you know, they were definitely more fired up than us, and so I think that was disappointing. But I think, you know, first half they kind of dictated the way the game was going. They were showing looks, and they were dictating the way things were going. I think that was just a big thing that halftime we had to make an adjustment to. We made some adjustments at halftime from the looks that we were seeing. And obviously, you know, we had some injuries, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's football. You know, we practice all year long. We had split practices, so we get all the twos and threes ready. So, I mean, obviously in football, injuries are never an excuse. But, I mean, just that was just kind of the first half, pretty much summarized.
And Clay, you know, that pick at the beginning of the game, that first play, is that a play that kind of mentally just kind of messes with you for a little bit? You being such a young quarterback, that's your second start, your second game. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that? Because I know that's frustrating, and that's not obviously the opposite of ideal how you want to start a game. What's your coaching staff saying to you after that play?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously it was a bad play by me. I mean, I got a little antsy, you know, threw the ball out too far in front, and I made a bad play for our team and put us in a tough position from the start, which is something as a quarterback I can't do. You know, I'm pretty hard on myself. I'm, you know, I don't care how old I am. You know, I'm always going to keep it real with myself. You know, that was a bad play by me. But at the end of the day, when I walked off from the sideline, you know, I'm confident in myself. You know, I've done a ton of reps in practice. I've already played a game, you know. Played in front of 110,000 people our first game, so now I've had one game of experience now, and I think through practice, you know, I've built that confidence that, you know, even after one bad play, I wasn't, you know, shell shocked or anything. It was just like, okay, next play, it's a bad play, flush it. So mentally, I was fine. You know, it was disappointing for the position I put our team in off that first play, but mentally, I was okay. You know, the coaching staff, I think, they were just trying to get some, you know, quick completion. We called some short stuff early on just to get me going after that, kind of. But mentally, from that pick, you know, I was totally fine mentally. You know, I've done this before. I played a lot of football, and I'm confident in myself. So there was nothing – I wasn't wigged out or anything after that first play. I was just kind of – personally, after that play, I was like, okay, you know, this is probably going to be something we laugh about at the end of the game, because I was still assuming that, you know, everything was fine and we were going to do our job. So – you know, that was a bad play by me, but for me mentally, I was okay and just totally fine.
Yeah, and it was just one of those games, kind of the perfect storm for Middle Tennessee. Everything kind of went wrong from there. We go into the half, and we don't have to sit here and talk about that first half. I got to tell you, Clay, there was a moment, though. I'm watching you. I'm at that game Saturday, sitting up in the press box. And in that second half, when you guys started to make that run, you throw three touchdowns to your guy, Torrey Horton. And I'm looking around the press box. Everybody's leaning in suddenly going, whoa,
yeah.
Okay. You just had this fight. And again, I'm not saying that fight wasn't there in that first half from you individually. But I could see that spark, and I could see it. And I'm getting excited personally going, hey, Rams fans, I know it looks dark right now, but seeing your at least on an exterior perspective, seeing your confidence really grow throughout that second half was big.
Yeah, I think I've always been confident and competitive and tough. You know, I don't enjoy losing. I hate losing, obviously. So kind of once we had those couple drives, you know, those couple touchdowns really quick, you know, I think those three drives and that 10 minutes of play that we had, you know, I think that showed, you know, what this team, when we're at our best, what we can do, you know. We scored three quick touchdowns, had defensive stop, defensive turnovers, and all of a sudden, you know, the game felt a lot different. And I'm a pretty competitive guy. You know, I don't enjoy losing, and we're down, and, you know, we started coming back. So I think that got me pretty fired up. And I was like, hey, you know, there's, what, 17 minutes left in this game, and we're only down by two touchdowns now. So I think everyone on the sideline and the offense and defense had belief at that point that, like, hey, we're gonna do this. We're going to pull this off, a 34-point comeback. But, yeah, I was pretty fired up. That's just the way I play. I'm competitive. You know, I think I'm a tough player, and that's just kind of how I play.
All right, Clay, so we go into the half. I think, what is it, 27-0 at that point. What at halftime were you guys talking about? Because clearly there was an adjustment. You outscored Middle Tennessee 19-7 in the second half, specifically the third quarter. What were those conversations like, and what was your coaching staff saying to you? And then, again, talk to us about the adjustments that were made.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was kind of just like a reset for us at halftime. You know, we were all disappointed, obviously, that we're down 27-0. I think the guys all stuck together. You know, we were obviously, I think we all expected and wanted to go win that game because we prepared all week. I thought we had a good week of practice last week. And so I think we just made some adjustments. We kept the tight end a little bit to pass block, kept the back end to pass block. And then our defense really played really, really well in the second half. And they gave us a chance to keep it in, keep the game close. And so once we got some momentum and the halftime, you know, we talked about coming back and everything, and there's some belief in the locker room and just sticking together. And I think that really kind of sparked us to get the comeback going.
It's amazing when you can see those adjustments, too, and blocking assignments. But, I mean, talk to us honestly here with missing your two tackles for the majority of that game. You know, it's an offensive line. You're all trying to work together and get to know each other a little bit more. I heard some amazing things said about you by your offensive linemen in some of the postgame reports I was listening to. But what was that like? I mean, obviously, they're starters for a reason. That's not something we can just gloss over.
Yeah, obviously, no, it's tough. Like I said, when you lose two tackles, it's not an easy adjustment. I mean, I love those boys. I love all my boys up front. They do a great job protecting me. You know, I love them to death. But that was just kind of a tough thing that to happen before a game, to lose both tackles. And you know, we have to make adjustments up front. You know, when you have guys down at any position, you got to make adjustments anywhere. You know, if you have guys down at receiver, you got to bring in the guys that have been playing. And so I think we had to do that. Obviously, we had to make some little bit of adjustments too. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, as a quarterback, you know, I can't focus on who's hurt or anything. It's just my job to execute. So from my point of view, that's all I was thinking about. You know, I believe in every single one of our linemen who comes in. If there's an injury, I believe in all those boys. I love them. I think they do a great job for me. So as a quarterback, you know, I don't really worry about how many injuries are happening around me. You know, it's my job to try and just keep the offense going.
I think it's interesting. I was looking at some stats to Josh Allen, Carson Strong, a lot of these quarterbacks that have been so good, Derek Carr, even from the Mountain West Conference and what they're doing in the NFL. I mean, their first couple of starts, I mean, let's face it, it is hard, Clay. I don't know how you do it, man. It's hard to play quarterback at this level. It's not always going to be easy, and you're kind of in that moment right now. The last couple of games, again, it ended on a positive note in that third quarter, of course, but last couple of games, you've been tested early on, but you're that kind of competitor already knowing you just this short time. Yeah, I've been telling Rams fans this whole show, be confident in this guy as he grows with this program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think we've been tested, like you said. I mean, we played in front of 110,000 people, played number six team the first game of the season. So I think we've been tested early. You know, we've seen a lot of stuff already in 2 weeks. I think that's just going to help us continue to build. You know, we're a new team. We're still, I think our best football will definitely be each week. You know, I think we get better each week in practice. And just seeing those improvements is really encouraging. I think that this is a team, you know, as each week goes by, we'll continue to improve. I just believe in this team still. You know, I think just because that first half was, you know, really, it was really not good. I think, you know, there was some positive at the end of it to show that, you know, we brought in within 15, and we had, you know, first and 10 at their 20 with 15 minutes left in the game. And I think there's a lot of belief that we're going to go win that game. So just, I think, you know, obviously it's disappointing. I'm disappointed that we didn't win, but I'm proud of the guys still for coming back and just making it somewhat competitive at the end and not just, you know, letting them go put a 60 bomb on us and losing 60 to 10 or something, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're listening to the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. And Clay, so much of football, we talk about this, with new coaches coming in, not that they're new coaches, but new to the program, new players, new faces, new complete overhaul. I mean, you and I have talked about this. The idea of this team, as far as the four air raid, all of that stuff, is completely different than what we saw last year. And it is one of those, you know, you hear it, sounds cliche, trust the process, but this is one of those things, Clay, where I really feel that way. Hearing Jay Norvell, hearing Matt Mummy talk about this throughout the offseason even, it's fun to get your hopes up and expectations high, but it really is a process as you guys hope to build this thing throughout the course of the season, throughout the course of your career.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got a lot of young guys, too, on both sides of the football. We've got some inexperienced guys. Now, personally, I'm not experienced. So I think we've got a lot of young players, like I've said, and the best thing about that is they continue to get older, they continue to get better. And so I think we've got a lot of positions on both sides that are really young. And I think that, you know, as each week goes by, as each game, each season, you know, goes by, those guys are going to keep on getting better. And I think it's kind of the same Nevada situation, you know, when Carson was young too, you know, there were some struggles early, you know. But, I mean, they all continue to develop, and I think that's kind of something that we can build here and just continue to get better each week, and that's what I want to do.
Clay, what were you seeing on those three touchdown passes to your guy, Torrey Horton? You guys have connected for four touchdowns already, so I'm very excited about that. Horton actually became the ninth ever for CSU to catch three touchdowns in one game. He had a monster game. What were you seeing? I mean, to start things off, you have a long bomb, and Horton just finds a way to get open.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about those three touchdown passes.
For sure, yeah. So the first one was max protection. You know, Torrey was running the post on the outside. And, you know, at that point in the game, we were down 34-0. The offense hadn't really been moving the ball too well. And, you know, Torrey was 1-on-1 on the outside. So I was like, hey, you know, this is a chance to take a shot. I know Torrey's a great player. And if we're going to get a spark right here, this needs to happen right now. So, you know, I stepped up in the pocket. I had really good protection on that play. My O-line did a great job giving me time to get it out there. And Torrey made a great play. And then the next one, the second touchdown, we're still down 34-6, and Torrey was 1-on-1 again. And so I just gave him an out and up, and the DB bit on it, and it worked perfectly. And all of a sudden, we got two touchdowns, and all of a sudden, you know, there was a little bit of life in the stadium. And then I think our defense got another turnover right after that. So it was like, hey, you know, the entire tide's just totally changing. And then it was 3rd and 15, Torrey ran a post again. The safety bit down on Melquan, and so it was just 1-on-1 on the outside. Torrey beat him inside, ran a great, great route, and gave me a lot of room to put it. And so just put it out there and let him go get it. And so, yeah, that was kind of those three plays.
I thought that was exciting, too. And what's really cool about that connection, too, Clay, and, you know, CSU for a long time was kind of known for churning out great wide receivers. And that was kind of one of those things where I think you walk away trying to take those positives, your connection with Torrey Horton. And, again, you got a touchdown against Michigan, too. So I know that's got to be a special bond. You guys are already kind of close, but that's got to be something that's kind of creating that bond and maybe furthering that relationship between the two of you.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's spring ball and fall camp. I think I obviously knew the Torrey's been making a lot of plays for us, so that never was any doubt in my mind. And I think all of our other receivers too are going to be, they're going to be catching a lot of balls soon. You know, I think all right now it's been a lot of Torrey, and just the way the situation's been, the matchups. And, you know, some days it'll be some guy has a lot of catches, and, you know, maybe there's a day where Torrey doesn't have that many catches, you know. So I think we've got great receivers all the way around, so I know those boys will start to get involved more, too. I think, you know, it's been mostly just Torrey's show right now, but we'll definitely be getting the ball around, too, which I'm excited about because I've got other great targets that I can get the ball to. Just the way the situation's been in the past 2 weeks, you know, Michigan was 1-on-1 on the outside and had to take a shot to Torrey in the last week. Kind of same thing with that. And so we'll be getting the ball around more, too.
Well, and you know, your defenses, as they study your film and look at you guys, it's not that Torrey Horton was a secret or anything, but as we're seeing it right out the gates with four touchdowns in 2 weeks, you know that's probably going to be something where teams are really starting to pay attention to him, and that's where, like you said, that's where other openings are going to present themselves in these games.
For sure, yeah. We've talked about how teams are probably going to start clouding Torrey, you know, or put two guys on him, so I think, you know, that's great because, you know, it's going to leave other guys open too. I mean, they can't cover all of us because we've got great receivers, and you know, they start doing that, the other guys will be getting the ball, and I feel really confident with all of our receivers all the way around. So I'm expecting a lot of the other guys to start catching a lot more balls too. So I'm excited about that.
Well, let's take a break here, and we'll get to Getting to Know Clay, presented by Ent Credit Union. Clay, again, man, I think you're just doing fantastic with this. Coming on and talking about a loss, that's not an easy thing to do, but you're breaking it down for us, man, and I really appreciate you, my friend.
Appreciate it.
All right, we'll take a short break. Getting to Know Clay, presented by Ent Credit Union. It's never easy to talk about a tough loss, but you know what? The Rams battled back, made it an interesting game. We'll see if they can take that third quarter, package it up, and make for a very fun rest of the season. We've only played two games, man. I mean, we got a long way to go. 21 after the hour, it's the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Lord, say to Noah, for you know that
arm, you better save me in space for my hammer head shark. The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Clay and I should start a petition to change this music at some point, but it's got a good upbeat feel to it as we take some time for Getting to Know Clay, presented by Ent Credit Union, the number one credit union in voted the number one credit union in Colorado by Forbes. They've got 50 centers across the Front Range, so you're going to find Ent and tell them we sent you here from the Clay Millen Show. Clay, some great texts coming in. If you guys want to get involved, text us at 888-530-0043. All right, this one, hey, Clay, what do you do after a game like that? I mean, obviously, you're chomping at the bit, wanting to hurry up and get back out there. What is your process like the next few hours after a tough loss to Middle Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, I think I spent it with my family. My family came out. My grandpa was out, so I just spent it with them. We went to Texas Roadhouse, and just, you know, we just ate. And it's always good to just be with your parents, you know. I mean, obviously, after a disappointing loss, just having them and being with them and supporting with them, it's always nice to have those family members in your corner. And so I just spent some time with them, and then I went back to my house and hung out with my roommates. We just watched some USC, you know. I mean, obviously, it was just disappointing, so it was like, you know, you couldn't – it was just a disappointing night. So I just kind of talked with my roommates and stuff and hung out with them. And so just tried to enjoy myself as much as I could, you know, still just being down about the game, you know. But it's okay to be down after 24 hours. But, I mean, after those 24-hour periods over, you know, then you're moving on, and we're on to Washington State now. So after the game, I was pretty disappointed, obviously. But, you know, once it's the 24-hour rule, you can be disappointed for 24 hours, and then after that, you got to flush it. So we had a good practice today, and now we're fully on to Washington State.
Hey, and eating some good steak from the Roadhouse isn't going to hurt once in a while. I mean, it kind of helps, you know, ease the pain going forward. All right, here's another one. How do you pay attention to any of the noise? Because, again, to me, we're 2 weeks into this brand new era for Colorado State. Do you pay attention to it? And if you do, how do you handle it? What do you say to that, Clay?
Not really. I mean, I try and do everything I can just to stay off social media, because if you get caught in that stuff, you know, you'll get too high or too low. When things are going great, you know, you'll believe, you know, everything people say about you, that you're the greatest thing in the world. So, you know, you can't really just look at that stuff. I don't look at good or bad, and I just try and stay off. And the only time I really look at social media is if I feel like I have to do something on social media or any of that aspect, but I just stay off the comments and everything and don't look at any of that stuff and, you know, kind of turn off some of my direct messaging, you know, before the season just in case, you know, just because that's some advice that I was given by some older guys at different schools that I've been around. That's what they told me is that what I should do is just, you know, just shut off social media, just turn everything off and just don't look at that stuff. So,
yeah,
that's what I've done, you know.
I think that's the best plan, honestly. Shut her down, man, for, you know, like you said, use it to post, but then shut down reading and scrolling for the rest of the season.
Sure.
Good or bad, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I think, you know, if things are going great and, you know, you're just reading all this stuff about you, you can believe a little bit too much hype about yourself. And I think that all that stuff, you know, it's not good for your head. So I think, you know, I've met with some guys that play a lot of big-time football, and they just tell me, you know, don't look at any of that social media. Just keep it off. And I think that's definitely the best advice, which I just go to.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's very well done. Another text coming in from the 303 side. What did you make of that student section? I mean, was that pretty cool to see all the students were going crazy to start that game, really filling that place up?
Yeah, for sure. It was great to have them out there. You know, obviously, as players, it was a little disappointing to kind of let them down like that, but for the fans that did stay, you know, I think hopefully we know we gave you guys a little bit of entertainment to kind of get the game somewhat close again. But, you know, it was cool to see all the support they showed for us in week one, and especially after a loss too, after Michigan. It was cool to see all the community and everyone at the game, which I really appreciated. You know, obviously we wanted to give you guys a different outcome and put a little show on for you guys, but you know, we'll keep improving and we'll try and give you guys the best thing we can put out there.
This texter from a 970. What are the coaches like when things are tough? I mean, is Coach Norvell getting upset, or is it really? Because what I see just watching is a lot of encouragement, a lot of clapping, a lot of talking and discussions.
Yeah, so I think he does a great job, you know, balancing that. You know, obviously when things aren't going well, you know, you don't want to look to a coach that's just all smiley and
right.
like, hey, things are great right now. So I think he has kind of the perfect balance of both. You know, he'll get hot. He'll get, you know, a little upset, as every coach should. And then he'll also be encouraging, you know, you. So, you know, especially me as a young quarterback, I think that he just talks to me a lot and really helps me with, you know, my mental side during the game. And both coaches did that. So I think they do pretty much a perfect balance, you know, both, you know, getting frustrated, but also, you know, talking us through and keeping us encouraged and things like that. So from a quarterback's perspective and a player's perspective, you know, I think that our coaches have done a great job of coaching us and handling the way, you know, the first two games have went. You know, they're obviously, I wouldn't want to play for a coach that was just really happy after a game or was just okay with it. You know, I think he's done a perfect job keeping us together, and I think the coaching staff has handled the situation really well with what they've been talking to us about. So I think I'm encouraged from that aspect.
Clay, I saved a couple of questions from last week since it was Labor Day. We didn't have a show, so I don't want to go far.
Yeah.
I won't go back into the game necessarily, but just the atmosphere. We did get this one from the 303 last week that just said, what were your butterfly situation like when you got out onto the field in the Big House a week and a half ago?
Yeah, honestly, I think when in high school, even, I was always, like, pretty nervous before a game. You know, I'd always get really nervous a lot of the games in high school. But for some, like, I was a little nervous the night before Michigan when we checked out the stadium the day before, kind of seeing it, just kind of picturing all those people. I was a little nervous. But honestly, like, I swear, when I walked out there and I kind of saw the crowd, I was like, you know, this isn't too serious. I was pretty much just focused on the game, and I wasn't, I get nervous a lot of the time, but I honestly wasn't really nervous going out there. I think it was just like, you know, you're just so focused on the game. I think, you know, your mindset just kind of takes over. You know, you're just focused on doing everything you can to execute and play as a quarterback. So I honestly wasn't nervous, and I think it was just like I was so locked in on playing the game and the plays we were running that I just didn't even really think about the crowd, and it was just like, you know, it was like we were playing in front of 100 people, pretty much.
Boy, I was nervous for you just watching the game. I was like, damn, that's a lot of people there. But I'm glad to see that you can kind of put that away, compartmentalize that a little bit. Last one, and we'll wrap up this segment of getting to know Clay. Did you talk to RG3 a little bit? What, you know, as they're preparing the broadcast or anything like that?
Yeah, no, it was actually our media guy came up to me and he's like, "Hey, do you have class at 1:00?" And so I was like, "Yeah, I do." He's like, "Do you have time for an interview at 1:00?" And so I thought it was just like a regular interview or anything. And so And I was like, yeah, no, sorry, I have class at 1 o'clock. And then he goes, oh, okay, sorry. And I was like, what was the interview about? And he's like, yeah, you know, RG3 was going to be interviewing you. I'm like, well, you could have told me that part before. And so I ended up missing that interview, which kind of stinks. But, it's okay at the end of the day.
Hey, you know what? Let me just say, good for you, though, taking your class seriously. We're putting off RG3. And you still get to do the show with me, man. I mean, that's a close second, right? Come on. That's a substitute.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Clay, we won't keep you much longer. We'll wrap up on the other side. Let's set our sights toward Washington State and talk about this team next, because that's the next game on the schedule. And I know you guys have already turned the page and are preparing for the Cougars. So we'll talk about that on the other side. 34 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Let's get to the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. And just a few minutes here left with Clay, and we'll let him get back at it. As I know, not only with school, but getting set to prepare for Washington State. And all Washington State did over the weekend was knock off number 19 in Wisconsin in kind of a slugfest. They win 17-14. So many shockers over the weekend, Clay. That was kind of one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously they went into Wisconsin, got a big win against a good team. So, obviously, we're preparing for a good football team, and we're excited for the challenge. So, I mean, this is going to be a good test for us, and it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, well, and I know Nakia Watson, you know, he didn't have a monster game against Wisconsin, but it was his old team, so I know it was important for him to come up big, and he did. He had a touchdown, a rushing touchdown against Wisconsin. That was big. So this is kind of a gritty football team from what we've seen so far, you know, just trying to stay in the game, which they did defensively and did enough to ultimately win, and even in their win against Idaho, 24-17. So that's kind of what they want to do. It seems like early on, Clay, is to slow things down with that defense and allow maybe the offense to come up late and do something in the second half of games.
For sure, yeah. We started preparing for them today and watching film in Washington State. So they've got a good defense. You know, they got a lot of good athletes out there. Their defensive coordinator was at Nevada with us last year. So I've gone against his defense for a little bit last season. When I enrolled there last year, so I've seen a little bit of what he does, and so we'll get to watch him on film and get a good opportunity to kind of see what their game plan will be against us. And so I think it'll be a good week to watch film and really truly try and prepare for these guys as best as we can. You know, obviously watching film will be huge, and just trying to do everything we can to get ready and make any adjustments we need to for this game.
Well, I know just listening to your teammates, reporters that cover the Rams, you are a student of film, and you love to not only watch what you're going to be doing, but even talking to your O-linemen, they'll bring it up. Hey, Clay likes to come and watch what we're watching and try to get more information there. So I know that's going to be huge in your development as we progress this season.
For sure, yeah. I think, you know, the more film you watch, the quicker the game slows down, you know, when you can go in and watch as much film as you can. And so, you know, when you see a certain look on the field and you've watched it, you know, a bunch of times on film, you know exactly what you want to do, what checks you want to make, how you want to read your progression. So I think the more plays you watch just over and over on film, it gives you an idea of when you get out there what they're going to be doing and how you want to respond to it and how your reads are going to look during the game, certain blitz looks that you'll get to see. So I think all that's really important. You know, you have to prepare Monday through Friday, really Monday through Thursday mainly. You know, so then you're ready for the game. If you don't prepare Monday through Thursday, you know, you're not going to be able to execute. So I think that's a huge thing for me. And even being a young guy, I think the more film I watch, the more I'll learn from other teams, which is important for me.
Well, it's a huge opportunity, a huge test for you guys early on, trying to get the bad taste out of your mouth from a rough weekend against Middle Tennessee. So I know looking to turn the page, get out on the road, get to Washington State, and see if you guys can start putting piecing things together a little bit more on the road this weekend.
For sure, yeah. I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
Clay, my man, I appreciate you so much. Love doing this show with you. You handled this perfectly. And again, I think our listeners just absolutely love hearing a little bit of X's and O's, what we can get to, and just get to know you a little bit more too. Man, we just wish you the best of luck. I know you guys will get rolling. You'll get it all ironed out throughout this season. So I'm very confident in that, my man.
Yep. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm excited and appreciate you guys for having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. There's Clay Millen, the Clay Millen Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza and also brought to you in part by Ent Credit Union. Love those two places, man. Crazy Carl's Pizza. I told you that place, when I first heard about them, and trust me, I went to UNC, Greeley and stuff. My wife was a Fort Collins person. So I didn't honestly know much about Crazy Carl's Pizza. It was last year's show that we did with our former Ram, now with Sam Houston State, Ellison Hubbard, who was texting and checking in on his Rams with me this weekend. He said, dude, let's go to Crazy Carl's Pizza. And so I go there. I ask my wife, I say, hey, you want some pizza? I'm bringing home some tonight. Brought it home. We don't eat any other kind of pizza. Like, that is it. My wife is always like, hey, when are we doing Crazy Carl's Pizza again? You have to try it. Their wings are crazy. Their pizza's delicious. Everything there. And, man, they have the TVs. Whatever location you're looking at, whether it's the one on campus or off Timberline, they have the TVs to watch all of your games. They have NFL Sunday Ticket. So you will not be, you have great food, great beverages, and TV just absolutely surrounding you. So we thank Crazy Carl's Pizza, who's always jumping on board with everything we do, whether it's talking college football, Colorado State football, or even the prep scene as we prepare for the Canvas Clash, the Canvas Classic coming up in a couple of weeks with four Fort Collins teams. We're going to have a doubleheader of games there. So we thank Crazy Carl's Pizza. 45 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. We'll go back to the whole show now and put the finishing touches on Monday Night Football between the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. Are the Broncos going to cover the 6.5-point spread? That's a big question, but more importantly, are the Broncos starting this thing off 1-0? That's the big question. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday.
I mean, it's the first game of the season. It's Monday Night Football. That's exciting, just in its own.
Javonte Williams takes the handoff. And Williams, nice second effort, still going. Javonte Williams carrying defenders. Wilson setting up to go deep. He's going to take a shot. He's got it.
Let's go, you. Let's ride.
Throwing toward the end zone, intercepted. Picked off in the end zone by Pat Surtain.
Going deep, Sutton. Oh, he got it! What a catch! Touchdown, Denver.
Broncos, Seahawks tonight. Russell Wilson is back, but in the blue and orange, going up against his own team. Prediction time. We have some predictions coming in. Shoot us a few on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Of course, Dixon says 2017 Seahawks. No way. Absolutely. Now, there's a question about whether or not this team can cover this spread, which is essentially getting a touchdown and getting that extra point. But listen, you can throw out all the stats you want about Pete Carroll being okay at home, or when he's a dog at home, and Geno Smith last year was, in games that they were dogs, he played well, whatever. I don't know, man. I mean, I know the preseason thing we've been talking about with Nathaniel Hackett, but Broncos might have some playmakers that are being overlooked this season. And, you know, we know Russell Wilson was 61 in the top 100. Justin Simmons was in the, what, 80s. I think there's some playmakers on this team that we're just not talking about. Patrick Surtain, I will be curious to how they use him tonight, whether they're putting him on DK Metcalf like a dedicated assignment there, or if, you know, he's kind of more or less, you know, kind of a bracket situation or a lot of zone out there. I'll be curious to see that. But Patrick Surtain is a playmaker. And listen, I know Von Miller had that game, and I was pretty pumped for Von on Friday. But Randy Gregory is no slouch. And Bradley Chubb was named a captain. You don't think that boost of confidence is going to do something tonight? He's a captain alongside Russell Wilson, a potential Hall of Famer. Maybe that's something that really triggers him to the point where, hey, I want to get off to the best start here and get after this Seattle Seahawks offensive line and earn that contract. Start earning that big payday that you want and not have to worry about moving. And you can stay a Denver Bronco. So I want to see Bradley Chubb have that year. I want to see him have that monster year that we've been waiting for the past, what, four seasons to see. And Randy Gregory, I think that that's another player for this team that should be able to be a consistent playmaker. Josie Jewell's out. That one hurts. I did just get this, tweeted it moments ago. It's bad news. James Palmer, Billy Turner, was questionable going in with the knee. He just isn't ready to go yet, is what James Palmer's hearing. So he won't start tonight for the Broncos. So that one hurts. Then you go to what? Cameron Fleming on the right side. Or do you slide over Calvin Anderson, who's a backup left tackle to Garrett Bowles? What will they do come game time? So that one hurts, trust me. But you do have some playmakers on this team. And you know what? Our boy Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos says he thinks Jerry Jeudy's going to be the playmaker. Now, he said Russell Wilson first, but then said, all right, I'll go with somebody that's not an obvious one. I think it's going to be Jerry Jeudy that just lights it up. Can Jeudy, so Chubb on one side, Jerry Jeudy on the other, can those two guys start earning that, you know, near the top of that first round pick status? Can they be those guys that we've been begging them to be for so long? Can they come up big now that you have the quarterback? Jerry Jeudy didn't have Peyton Manning. He had Drew Lock and Joe Flacco, right?
Leave Benny alone!
Yeah,
please.
Drew. No Drew tonight, so there's going to be no late game Drew. Drewmatics. There you go, Angel. I like Denver. I'm going to say Denver wins this easily. I'm going to say Denver takes this thing 27-10.
Broncos country, let's ride.
27-10. You got any predictions for me, Angel?
Well, I just hope both teams go out and have fun. But all honesty, I'm looking forward to seeing what Russell Wilson looks like with this offense. How does Hackett coach this team up? And I'm curious to see how the defense does. A lot of hype around this Denver defense. I'm not sold on it just yet. So let me see if they can do something tonight.
Dixon says might be overlooking Seattle a little bit. They missed the playoffs without Russell. Now you have Geno Smith. What am I missing? And they don't have Bobby Wagner. What am I missing? Were we overlooking them last year? I don't think so. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Clay Millen and Zach Stevens. Good night, Northern Colorado.